Hey everyone, welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast, where we dive into the people, stories, and iconic moments that have helped make sneakers a global phenomenon. If you've ever told someone that you like their kicks, then you're in the right place. Before we lace up this episode, here's a little teaser for you. Stick around to the end of each episode for the last shot question. It's a chance to test your sneaker knowledge and engage with our community. I've also recently started a newsletter to share my knowledge from nearly two decades of experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link to that below or go to sneakerhistory.com/newsletter for a weekly deep dive into the biggest topics in the sneaker business. All right, now that the business is taken care of, grab your favorite pair of kicks and let's get started with the episode.
Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move!
Against Gill, the crowd on its feet. Allen for the win!
Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast.
What up, what up? We're back with the Sneaker History Podcast. We're up to episode number 14. And I'm here with my guy, Mike Guillory. Mike, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Mike Guillory. I am back in the building today. We're looking to talk some sneakers with my guy, Nick, and see what you guys have out in the world here.
Yeah, so before we get into that, as usual, we just want to shout out somebody that left us a review. X Miles Coltrane X left us a 5-star review on iTunes, and just let you all know, we just really appreciate the time that you're taking to drop those reviews and give us feedback. And even if you're not dropping a review, you know, like tweet at us, leave a comment on Instagram, DM us, whatever you need to do, like. Give us some feedback because we want to make sure that you're enjoying the content that we're putting out there and the stuff that we're talking about. So if you have ideas for us on how to improve it or things you just don't like, other than just telling us that we all suck, we're probably still going to keep doing this if you say that. So it doesn't really matter. But, you know, we just appreciate the feedback. And, you know, if you do have an extra 30 seconds, leave us a review on iTunes. It helps us bump up a little bit, get in front of a little bit more people and continue to expand our audience and reach more people and talk more sneakers. So thank you for that, and we appreciate you all.
Yep. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
So we got a couple of pretty good topics, I think, today. But before we get into that, just some newsworthy stuff. And I'm going to just jump into last night. Well, it depends on when you're listening to this. But last night, Dame Lillard hit an unbelievable game winner to push the Blazers past the Thunder. And that was amazing. Not trying to take any credit away. But what was even more amazing to me was that Adidas like up and popped out a $50 off discount on all of Dame's shoes if you wanted to use, like they sent out a code. I got in an email and it just popped up in the app as well. But $50 off $115 or $125 shoe. I ended up picking up a pair of the black and red Dames for basically $71 shipped. And to me, that's just like,
easy.
Yeah, a no brainer. It's the perfect marketing. You know, it takes it back, you know, to that nostalgic kind of like, what did the guy do on the court? Like instant gratification of wanting to support that player for hitting the game winner, and I just thought it was super dope. I don't know. What do you think, Mike?
I think that's amazing. That is talking about being in touch with the customer. Adidas saw a perfect opportunity to not just drop a new shoe, but they took a chance. They took an opportunity to, hey, guys, we appreciate you rocking with our athlete. Appreciate you rocking with our brand. Here's $50 off of the shoe that's already at most $125. Like you said, you walk out, ship $70 for 2 days. They give you 48 hours to go ahead and purchase a signature basketball shoe of one of their premier athletes for $70.
Yeah.
And I can say nothing but good things about that.
It's super dope, too. It's funny because, like, I got the email. I didn't see – did you see it on social anywhere officially from Adidas? Or was it
no,
just –
No, I saw someone post it on social – like a different, like one of the people I follow just took a screenshot of their email.
Yes.
Which made me go look at my email, and I saw it there.
Yeah, so I'm wondering, like, how that works, but it's super dope. Like, you know, I saw the email earlier today. I actually went in, put the discount code in, added it to my cart, and, like, ended up getting distracted because I was just doing some stuff, getting a bunch of errands done, and didn't make the purchase. And then when Mike and I hopped on to do the podcast, he reminded me, and I actually just went through and, like, ordered. And, I mean, it's just crazy to get, like, a signature shoe for that cheap, right? To just take $50 off of a shoe because of the game winner. I'm curious. It would be awesome to know, and we'll see if we can find out, but how many shoes they actually sell in the next 48 hours, because actually you'll be listening to this probably with a little bit of time left, hopefully, to do that. So we'll put that in the links of the description, if it's still up there. But yeah, I just thought that was super dope. I love when the brands are paying attention and to what's going on and the moments that happen.
Heck yeah. I thought it was fake when I first saw it because, it was just a post on someone else's account, because the discount code is literally the longest discount code I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it's
crazy.
Yeah. It's a whole, like, 16. It looks like a credit card number or something.
Yeah. I was like, this can't be real, especially for the amount. So I went ahead and tried it after I checked my email, and boom, there it is in cart for $70. So all I can do is hope James Harden scores 50 tonight. Maybe it gets a hint. I don't know, but we'll see.
Yeah. Hey, I think that's a great way to get people buying signature basketball shoes. You know, like, as everybody's excited watching it, you could, like, I mean, you know, watching and then throw the Twitter, you know, if you follow anybody that's into basketball on Twitter, you know how crazy the playoffs get. Like, it's just nonstop, you know, nonsense and hilarity. But, that's super dope. But, on the same note of, like, getting a crazy deal, Mike found a pretty good deal today, and I'm going to let him talk about.
Crazy enough, just kind of skimming the internet, you know, my daily sneaker search of things I want to add to the collection. I ended up on Flight Club. They're just free plug, Flight Club. Just let us know when you send the shoes. but I was browsing through a section they have. It's called Price Drops. It's a big item you can click on their homepage. And I was skimming through it, and a couple of cool things caught my eye. One of them being the Yeezy Boost 700 Salt. It's a $300 shoe. It's below $300. I mean, still kind of high price, but you're not paying those crazy resale prices. A couple of the React Element 87s, which are real hot commodities for a lot of people from Nike. Under retail on some select sizes, but the one that stood out the most to me was the Atmos by Air Max Light 2, or Air Max 2 Light, I'm sorry. I found it for $160 shipped in a few different sizes, and I don't know if it's just everyone's trying to keep up with StockX since they have pretty much the lowest prices in the resale game, or it's just, hey, maybe these sneakers aren't as hot as the brands thought they would be. Maybe the fire kind of died on them. I just think it's cool because, like I told Nick before the show started, I was like, I'm going to go pick up those Atmos Air Maxes. There's no way I'm going to miss them twice. Miss them on the sneakers app because I saw them sitting. I thought I could come back and snag them for retail. But this is perfect. A little bit of waiting. I get what I want for under what heck retail would have been. What do you think about that, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, I started scrolling through after you told me about it, and I know they're not, like, as popular as the first, like, series of the acronym Prestos, but you can get the Dynamic Yellow Prestos for, like, $130 on there, which, I mean, and the black and gray ones for $130, which, to me, like, even if you don't like the print on those shoes are super comfortable. And you could change up that print, make it a color that you like, and you got a black and gray and a third color, and it would be super dope to me for $130 bucks. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to dig through some more and see what I can find. We'll put the link in the description for this one, too. Yeah, seriously.
Heck yeah. Yep. They got a pair of Zoom Kobe 1s, the final seconds.
Yeah, yep.
With the, look like the PE, $125, so he's going to be excited about that one.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't remember what retail was, but they've got the Alpha Edge 4D, like the 3D printed Adidas.
Yep.
You know, 240. I mean, it's still, yeah, 205 on some. I mean, it's still an expensive shoe, but it's super dope. To like, that's one of the things that I love about sneakers in general is like when the new stuff comes out and you're able to just see it and feel it and wear it for the first time and kind of experience it. Like, that's one of my favorite things. And I think like on a very basic level, we all have that feeling towards just a new pair of shoes, right? But then when you get that like crazy technology that's, you know, the first time you wore Boost, the first time you wore React, the first time you wore, you know, like the 3D printed stuff, the 4D stuff from Adidas, like it's just a cool experience to have. And I, you know, personally, like that's the kind of stuff that keeps me, you know, super stoked about sneakers through all these years.
Yeah. And not to mention, I just like finding deals, like hunting for deals and just coming out on top. I mean, you know, you still spend money, but it's super cool to be able to, you know, tell your friends, tell your, you know, your fellow sneakerheads, like, hey, look at this come up.
Yeah.
Like, it's so much better than having to say, I lost this raffle today. I didn't get a chance to spend $300. Wait a little while. You never know what can happen. I'm not saying it's going to happen all the time because clearly it doesn't, but sometimes a little patience will reward you in the long run. So this is awesome to see.
Yep. Yeah, man. So moving along, well, and talking about actually moving Trophy Room, which is, you know, Michael Jordan's son Marcus's store down there in, it's basically in Disney World, but they're moving this summer and they're kind of celebrating the move, so to speak, with a Jordan 5 collab, which is pretty dope. But it looks a lot like Travis Scott Houston Oilers colors to me. It's like a light blue with red and white. I don't know, man. It's I like it. I don't think I would see myself picking it up, but it's interesting to think of all the like, you know, potential reasons for creating a new colorway or a new collab if you're you know, as plugged as Michael Jordan's son. So what do you think about this one?
Yeah. I mean, it's a cool colorway. I mean, just like you said, as soon as I saw it, I thought Travis Scott 4. I guess I should probably do more research on where they're going to be moving to. Maybe this has a relation to. Maybe they're moving to Houston. Maybe I'll get a chance to actually see one of these stores. but I would like to know the reason behind the colorway. I was just looking back while you were talking, Nick, kind of looking back at some of the other Trophy Room collabs that were out there. And to be honest, they're all nice colorways. I think the only one that really like stuck out to me was the 16. It was the gray suede up top with the metallic gold accent. Super cool shoe. Oh, I'm sorry, it's the 17. I apologize, it's the 17. But super cool shoe, but man, nothing I would truly see myself purchasing unless I kind of tripped and stumbled upon it.
Yeah, same here. I mean, I do think they've done some pretty decent colorways. Like, I agree that one, 17 with the gray and the gold accents is really dope. I think those are the kind of shoes that can kind of, reinvent retro models for Jordan brand. You know, we talked, Robbie and I talked about, you know, Jordan brand doing all these collabs, and this kind of adds to that conversation. But it's interesting that when somebody does a colorway right, it can bring a lot of attention to the specific silhouette, and you know, you can go from there. I don't know that this one is that great, but it does lead us into like what we wanted to talk about. So one of the main topic we wanted to talk about tonight was the repeated colorways from a lot of the brands, and this comes up obviously with the, you know, Trophy Room Jordan 5 looking like the Travis Scott Jordan 4. And, you know, originally, like, we started talking about it because the cap and gown 13 you know, obviously is just like a you know, all black patent leather, shiny kind of, I guess like graduation themed shoe, but I think of more like prom or weddings or something like that. You know, the whole story of people wearing Jordan 11s to, you know, these special events in their lives. And it's really interesting that they took the Jordan 13, which we'll get into. But then we started talking a little bit about how a lot of the collaborators have their own kind of personal colorways, right? And as we were talking about it, you know, Staple comes up with the pigeon colorways. And I think that colorway is awesome. I think a lot of these guys that are doing colorways are really good at like making those colorways fit to a specific silhouette. DJ Clark Kent with the 112 pack and the 112 releases, like those are amazing to me, with the exception of the Hyperdunk. I'm not a fan of that one. It's just a little too much. But, then I started thinking like, I mean, even like Atmos has the Safari and, you know, the clear jade elephant print combo. And then just now I was thinking like Stash has that like gradient of like dark blues and dark grayish blues on his shoes. And all of those seem to work really well. But then personally, I look at the Jordan 13 cap and gown, and I just think this isn't really a shoe that people ever talked about wearing to a special event. I don't know. What do you think, Mike?
Oh, man, you hit it right on the head. When I did the cap and gown 11 last year, I understood the story, made perfect sense. And hey, it sold. I mean, like most 11s, it sold. And I feel like that's what happens with when this repeated colorway starts flowing on shelves. It sold with one model, and it becomes, how many times can we do it to repeat the same success? Which is, I mean, it kind of goes with the old saying, if it's not broke, don't fix it. So I feel like a lot of times that happens, and that statement is taken way too literally, because not only this is only the second time we've seen the cap and gown, thank goodness. But I don't see another shoe that it would be on. Like, I would respect a little bit more if it was on a Jordan 4, since this is the year to 4, or even if it was on a, you know, a black and white patent Jordan 1. I mean, that may work a little better, but besides the point, it still would have been a repeated colorway. This looks like it started happening. I want to say, what year did LeBron go to the Heat? Was that 2010?
Maybe 2008.
Is it 8? Okay. Yeah, I'm trying. Oh, no, they won in, I think they, the heck? I'm trying to remember when they won. Anyway, whenever LeBron went to the Heat, they released that LeBron 8 South Beach. And man, once that became just a staple in sneaker history, sneaker folklore, every sneaker you saw had a South Beach colorway. And it's, yeah. Still to this day, 10 years later, 11 years later, there's still South Beach sneakers. My parents just bought my son a pair of South Beach 8.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. 2010, you're right.
King Griffin shoe.
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, even, like you say, sometimes it works. A lot of times it doesn't.
And you know what's funny about that particular colorway is it like spawned a bunch of like kind of, I don't know, like, I guess like knockoff colorways of that.
Yeah.
Like style, right? Because I forget when they dropped the, oh man, it was the, it wasn't even like a South Beach colorway, but it was like, not long after, maybe like 2012, 2013, they did those quote Yeezy Roshi Runs and Yeezy Air Max Ones, which were like
FC pack.
Yeah, which were like basically pink and like a shade of a greenish tint, you know, like very similar to what the South Beach was, but just, you know, a little less prominent, I guess, a little less all South Beach. But it is kind of funny, like that. I don't know, maybe that, because we were talking about before we started recording, you could look at the shoes that, you know, Jordan wore, or I mean, even like any of the teams, right? You could go back to Magic or Dr. J, and even like through like to like, you know, PG, Kyrie, Harden. It's almost like if a colorway fits a particular school, then it makes, and it's a performance shoe, then it makes perfect sense to me for the brands to make that shoe into, you know, or that colorway into other options for kids to play in, right?
Yeah.
I think of like the Bred colorways or the like Chicago colorways, and, you know, like, I mean, there's 10 or 20 teams that come to mind, you know, whether that's college or high school, that those colorways can fall in line and match team colors of a school. And to me, that makes a lot more sense than this repeated kind of formula of, you know, like using the South Beach or the cap and gown. I mean, the cap and gown's kind of, other than the fact that it's being sold as like this premium version and has the whole shine to it, you know, like I used to work in food service and waited tables. So like you had to wear all black shoes, and that was a part, like I used to wear all black sneakers then. It was like Air Max 90s for me. So I think those kind of things, you know, an all black shoe is a little bit different, but to tell the same story of like cap and gown with that 13, it makes me wonder if that story is actually coming from Nike and Jordan, or if it's a story that comes from, you know, the blogs or some particular person that just saw, oh, a patent leather, you know, Jordan 13, this must be cap and gown. But then typically, yeah, like I think that, and then I go to the sneakers app and I see cap and gown, and it's like, oh, it is coming from Nike. And it makes me just wonder, like, why, like, was the Jordan 13, maybe there's something we're missing here. If you know some, yeah, if you know some story around the Jordan 13 being a quote cap and gown graduation, even prom or marriage, weddings, whatever it is, for whatever story, if you know there's one that exists and that's why this shoe was created, let us know, because we'd love to know about it. But I just don't see the connection.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? Again, I think this one might have been pushing a little bit too far. I don't know exactly how the shoe's going to sell. I mean, I know the 13, people love 13s, but I feel like this one, with $200, $210 price point, might be hanging around for a while. You may be able to catch this one out the outlet. Just because it doesn't, like I say, it doesn't, at least to this guy here, it doesn't appeal to me. It doesn't look like an everyday sneaker you can even just wear. It looks like it's going to, the upper's going to be just a mess with that patent leather. I don't know. It's not one I'm feeling.
So I got a question for you. So we're talking about colorways and reusing of colorways, and, you know, sometimes it feels really forced. Let's use like a different one that doesn't really have anything attached to it, but I love the colorway. How about the Bruce Lee Kyrie 3? Like the Bruce Lee Kyrie 3 is inspired by the Kobe 5, right? I think it's Kobe 5. Mm-hmm. Is that better?
I think there's a Kobe. You know, I'm going to sound completely just hypocritical, but yeah. it sounds crazy. I know. And it, like, the argument is so two-sided, because you give me the right color, I'm going to agree with you all day. I'm like, put the color on everything. Slap it on everything, get your hands on.
Yeah.
But then you give me something like previously we spoke about, I'm like, no, one shoe is enough. So, yeah, you give me a Bruce Lee sneaker and a Kyrie, a PG, another Kobe, a LeBron, I buy all of them.
See, I like the Bruce Lee is a great one because I love that color combination. But I personally don't really care for the Kyrie version. I mean, I know that it's very similar, but I look at it and I think about the story of the Kobe 5. And how, you know, that was created because Kobe was a Bruce Lee fan, and like the work ethic, yeah, and all of the story that was behind that and the reason why he was a fan. And it's almost like that first story, the first time I heard that story, it was totally justified and I was into it. Now I'm seeing it and I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know, like Kyrie, if Kyrie was a Bruce Lee fan, that's one thing, but then you could probably make him a unique colorway. And then if Kyrie's a Kobe fan, which obviously he was,
yeah,
it's almost like, why would you take the colorway that's inspired by somebody else? Like, why not take, you know, I don't know, like a Lower Merion colorway or Grinch, yeah, or something that was very specific to Kobe's line.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. It makes me think about, too, like, now that you said the Grinch colorway, sometimes I feel like those, you know, they've done Grinch colorways on other shoes, and it just totally bombed. And the first Grinch was, like, crazy popular. I mean, it was just, like, insane how popular that shoe was. So, I don't know. It's totally hit or miss. So, I guess, like, where does, like, the rule come into what defines, like, when people are going to like it or not? Is it just, like, personal taste and, like, you already know? Because thinking, like, on the business side of this, if there's analytics behind a particular colorway, then they can apply that and say, look, we already know the numbers that we can sell of this particular colorway, right? And you know, working in this business for a long time, I can say that, like, you know, it's common knowledge for a lot of people, but if you're fairly new to paying attention to the business of sneakers, it might be surprising that retailers like Foot Locker, you know, Finish Line, East Bay, brands like Nike and Adidas, they sell more black on black, white on white, white on white and black, and white with navy blue or navy blue with white. Those three particular color combinations are super simple, and that's what sells the most. Like, and you look at, like, you know, the Nike Air Monarch is a great example because it's the common person's shoe, and it's not loud. It's super subtle. Nobody's going to question that. Nobody's going to look at that shoe if, you know, a 50-60-year-old dude is wearing that shoe. The whole point of that shoe is to not grab attention or not get attention from people. And if that's what sells the best, then, you know that those are always going to be a part of it. But as the companies get more and more data and there's more colorways and they can say, hey, we sold this many and, you know, we only discounted this percentage of them and blah, 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 it makes me wonder, like, why, if that it comes into play with this, or if it's just really, like, you know, using the Kyrie as an example, that Kyrie really liked that Kobe shoe and wanted to remake it. I'm curious what you think, if it's on one side or the other in your mind, what you think it would be.
Yeah, when you put the colorways out, it has to be something. It has to be a focus group. It has to be, like you said, some analytics out there to say, hey, this color is going to sell. Of course, when they have that first model, that's a hit. Let's go ahead and use the Yeezy 2 Red October. Yeah, there hadn't been an all red shoe, including, like, sole and out, you know, midsole and outsole, that I can think of prior to that. I'm sure there was, but I can't think of one prior. But after that, every shoe had an all red colorway. There were all red Air Maxes. You had the all red. Oh my god! I think there's all red Roche Run. There's a bunch of all red sneakers. Heck, there's even different brands using all red sneakers because that sneaker had such an impact and sold so well that they knew if they could replicate it on different items, they can get those people who missed out on the Yeezy to pick up the all red shoe. So it's definitely about the numbers. It's a huge game of numbers, and if they can make their profit on it, they're going to keep doing it. And again, that's why I said there's still Crossbeat sneaker colorways after 10 years. So with that being said, it comes down to personal preference on which ones you're going to like. I don't think there should be the same color on every shoe in the world, but clearly, as you guys heard, if there's a Bruce Lee colored sneaker on every Nike basketball shoe, I buy them. So it does come down to personal preference. And I do agree with you. If Kyrie was, you know, he's a huge Kobe fan, I think that's one of his mentors. If that was the case, he should have picked another shoe, not to be confused with a Bruce Lee Kyrie. I know they did some kind of double branding with Kobe on the sneaker. So his Sheath logo was on there, as well as Kyrie's signature logo. But man, it's tough because, yes, there's going to be that couple colorways that we're just like, we're sick of seeing, but then there's going to be a few that you love. I mean, all the sneaker stores are going to, all the big box ones are going to keep buying the ones, or yeah, they keep buying the ones that they know they're going to sell. So you're going to keep seeing the same thing until they stop selling. So, I mean, that's kind of plain and simple, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, right? Like, business has got to make money. Yeah. That's what they're about. And I'm not mad at that at all. I think what's really interesting, and I'm just looking this up as you were talking, I was thinking about the, you know, we talked a little bit about the Red Octobers, and I was thinking that the Red Octobers kicked off that kind of all red look. You know, obviously, like, yeah, it's been around. I mean, you could argue that maybe, like, Dornbecker's or, you know, I can't remember the red fours, that the Toro fours or whatever, maybe the Toro or Raging Bull fives might have been before that, but it never really hit like this crazy level of hype for an all red shoe. But then I was looking up the release dates. It looks like the Air Max 90 Hyperfuse from Independence Day was the summer before the Red Octobers released. Which is mind-blowing to me, because that shoe, I have no idea why those shoes were so popular, because the shoe was a Hyperfuse for one. Like, most of the time, if we're sneakerheads are so picky about when you switch up any materials on originals, you know? So it's surprising to me that those shoes sold out. They were reselling. I mean, so I'm looking at StockX right now, like, the lowest ask for one of those is $510, and there's a bid at 500 in a different size, which for an Air Max,
there's no way.
An all red Air Max is kind of bananas to me. But yeah, like, it's kind of dope that's the case. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe, you know, I'd love to know if there was other things that were going on, but you know, thinking about like color schemes, right? Like, the USA color scheme happens all the time, right? We're going to see, you know, a dozen different options to get red, white, and blue sneakers over the next couple of months as we move towards July 4th, right? And
they will sell.
They
will always sell.
They'll sell, but like, the resale on them won't be anything crazy, right? This particular pack, the year, you know, before the Red Octobers, like, the white, the white, blue, all white, all navy blue, and all red Air Max 90 Hyperfuses are all still like crazy prices. $445 for a blue pair with a high bid right around the same. Yeah, I mean, like, the lowest ask on StockX for a white pair is $478, and I don't understand it at all. It's crazy now that I'm looking at it, and this is a little off topic of where we were going to talk about, but the rabbit hole is
it goes deep.
Full of tunnels right now.
It goes very deep. Well, on the flip side of that, so when you're talking about the Independence Day Air Max, I went to go look at the Independence Day sock dart. Complete 180. I can buy the all red Independence Day sock dart for $85 on my side on StockX.
Yeah, that's nuts. I mean, such similar shoes too, because the Hyperfuse version of that particular Air Max 90 is one of the nicer, like, you know, I don't know what you would want to call that, but like retro, like, you know, like updated retro with new materials. But the sock darts to me are more comfortable than those shoes. I mean, obviously it you know, if people are selling them anyway, then it doesn't matter if they're comfortable, but it's pretty wild to see like such a drastic difference between those prices. And, you know, they could be a little bit more limited, but, you know, they weren't like, I mean, it's just not a shoe that was crazy popular at any other time. And if you wanted an all-white Air Max, you could get an all-white Air Max 90 or even an all-red. I think there's all-red Air Max 90s out right now for retail or lower at, you know, Foot Locker.
Yeah, they had a flag on it.
Yeah, exactly.
It has everything but the flag, and that gets better materials than Hyperfuse.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So going back to the colorway conversation, I don't know if there's any more that I can think of, but you know, I like the staple one is probably the Clark Kent, you know, and the Atmos stuff, since that's coming back out with LeBron 16, kind of is like the best of the best in terms of like people that have made a colorway that was so good that it should just be like a timeless, always available. And I'm wondering for our listeners, but also to you, Mike, do you think that that has to do with the person connected to it on the collaboration side? You know, is that why like we look at those differently, or is it just that they're really good colors? Because as we talk about like the South Beach colorway, obviously LeBron leaving Miami and going back to Cleveland changes everybody's opinion about that colorway, you know, kind of in a subconscious way, right? I'm wondering if like, you know, and I haven't looked at the D Wade stuff, but like, if D Wade is wearing South Beach colorways, because the new Miami jerseys that they had this year, or you know, this last season, as like
alternates, Miami Vice jerseys,
were super dope to me.
Yeah.
So, do you think that it's about the collaborator and the person that worked on it, or do you think that those colorways could live outside of the, you know, collaboration sort of thing?
Okay, so I honestly think that of the grouping that we spoke of, who could live outside of the collaboration world, I think the staple colorway would be one to live outside the collaboration world, just because you've seen how similar colorways fly off shelves, just that light pink color and the grays and whites are always something that people kind of seek. But other than that, I think those colorways, for two reasons, can stand the test of time. One being, of course, the person behind it. Those colors signify those people and those brands. You don't look at a gray, pink, and white shoe, don't automatically think Fable. You don't look at a black Volt and elephant print shoe, don't think DJ Clark Kent 112. Sash, all the blues, it can go on and on, but those people's sneakers, their colors they choose, that's their brand, and it's perfect. And I just think that also because they don't release a shoe every 2 weeks.
That's a good point.
That they people look forward to them. And that's kind of going back to that. I think that's kind of one of my gripes with the last two staple SB Dunks. I mean, I know they don't want to flood the market with that original 2005 color, but man, it's such a no pun intended. It's such a staple because that color is amazing. I mean, that shoe's amazing. And I was kind of upset when they did the panda pigeon and then the black pigeon. It's just, I was looking forward to that color. And I'm sure people think the same thing when they see certain things. If DJ Clark Kent came out with the blue shoe, you would want to not buy, you'd be confused.
Yeah. I think you make a really great point about the time between releases too. This is something that Robbie and I kind of started to talk about it on the last episode, but I wonder like what, you know, everybody's kind of timeline for when they're ready for a colorway to come back is a little bit different. And I wonder like what that is for, you know, is there a timeline? Or because some people wear their shoes right away and wear them for, you know, an insane amount and burn through them to where it's like, oh, it's so beat that I don't want to wear it anymore. And kind of tying this in, like today I actually posted on Instagram and asked what people would rather have retro next, a black and red Air Jordan 1 or a Chicago Jordan 1. And, I mean, it was like primarily, I think there was like maybe 20 or so people that left a comment, and probably like 90% of them said that they would rather have a Chicago one, which was kind of surprising to me because, you know, I mean, I don't remember exactly which one came out last, but I feel like there's been opportunities to get Chicago ones in one form or another more regularly than a black and red Jordan one. But I don't know. It's kind of crazy. I mean, for you, Mike, is it like a time that goes by, or is it a particular model that you're just like, I just love this, you know, and I'm going to wear it all the time anyway, so I'm going to want to replace it in a year or two?
Yeah, I mean, that the latter is definitely me. I literally try to wear my shoes as much as possible. And if we're sticking on the Jordan 1s, I mean, consider that's one of my favorite models. If I was able to get a pair of red ones, like I pick up a pair of Air Force Ones, that would be perfect. I honestly think that shoe should be sitting around like a pair of Air Force Ones, where I can just beat a pair, go snag another one for, I don't care if it's $160, that's fine. But it's just it's such an iconic shoe. I think it would still sell if it was there all the time. But it just depends on the sneaker. Like, you can't have, I think Jordan, like, say we look at a Jordan 5, metallic Jordan 5, that would sit on shelf. It's not a shoe that's an everyday wear. I think it has to be an everyday wear kind of shoe. So Jordan 1s, you can leave on shelves all the time, you know, in all your, you know, colorways, rotate them as you please. Jordan 3s, put them in your normal popular retro colorways. They'll sell out, you know, they'll be bought constantly. It just depends on the model. I think it goes to wearability. It goes to the story behind them and so on and so forth. But, yeah, I mean, I guess it just depends. I feel like a lot of that, when people don't want the shoe to come out again, I think that kind of goes to the resale value kind of deal. Because, I mean, you and I, Robbie, some other guys we know, like, people who really like shoes and really, like, wear their shoes want to get the shoe as often as we can.
Yeah.
And I don't know. And I think the whole thing about Chicago right now, I hear with All-Star Game Chicago next year, I've been hearing rumors that it's going to drop during the game in February. But the whole hype behind Chicago one is definitely because of Off-White. Because I remember in 2012, I think that was the last time it came out, or 2013, when it came out, they literally sat on shelves. It was those, and then it wasn't the actual Celtic ones. It was the ones that were white, green, and had gold on them. They came out around the same time, and they sat on shelves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Off-White Jordan 1 in Chicago colorway, like, revitalized that color, because no one was talking about it until that one dropped.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, too, because there was a lot of options that were close, right? There was, like, you know, a Chicago mid last year. There was Bread Toes last mm-hmm. year. There was Top Threes. There was the Homage to Holmes. There was the, I forget the nickname, that the one that had the red stripe on the side. You know, obviously a little different, the Couture, right?
The Couture one?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I agree to a certain extent, like the Jordan 1 is just one of those shoes where I just love wearing it. I like the way it looks beat up. And, you know, if you came out with a shattered backboard colorway every couple of years, I'd be super stoked every time to be able to, you know, kind of freshen up and get a new pair. But I will say that, like, the more unique a colorway is, the longer I want it to be gone before I really am, like, missing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of, like, you know, maybe not Jordan 1, but I think of, like the Cause colorway on the original, like, Air Max 90 Cause, or the Air Max 90, it's not a Hyperfuse. What was that one called? I can't remember what it was, but there was the two Cause shoes from the mid-2000s that were like all white with neon, all black with neon. That colorway disappeared for so long, and you didn't see it, like the black and volt color combo, until, as far as I can remember, on like an Air Max shoe, until this last year, when there was like that I forget what it was.
Oh, the Night Ops pack.
Night Ops pack, yeah. And it was like the 180, the 90. And those
95.
Yeah, and then there's 95. Yeah, or was there a one Air Max One maybe?
There was a couple. It was like four of them, three or four of them.
But that particular pack, because I hadn't seen it in so long, I wanted it so much more than I wanted any other stuff, which is kind of crazy. So, personally, like, I like the stuff that disappears a little bit longer. I don't really have any desire to buy, like, Chicago ones, black and red ones, royal ones. I'm good. Like, I have a pair, or I had a chance to have a pair, or I already had a pair and I gave it away. Like, I'm really kind of good with those. I want to see, like, more unique stuff come back. But I don't know. It's tough because, like, I start looking at other stuff and I'm like, yeah, well, that colorway has been around and I didn't buy it, but I should.
I hate that feeling. It's like, crap, why didn't I grab this?
Yeah. So one last thing before we get out of here. We were thinking about another kind of interesting way that we revisit colorways as sneakerheads is when a particular colorway is, like, super popular on, you know, maybe an original model, and then you have you know, let's use, like, the Hot Lava Agassi colorways or the Medicine Ball colorway, because it, you know, came back, you know, on the LeBron shoe, and now it's going to come on the Trainer 3 this week. I personally, I love when they try to move, like, what I would say iconic colorways from the original to newer stuff. So I'm curious, like, what you think, Mike, and then obviously listeners, definitely let us know what you think, because part of my questioning in this and in, like, the conversation is looking at all the Don C shoes that don't seem to be doing well. There's a lot of classic colorways on that shoe. You know, you got the Hot Lavas, you got the Medicine Ball, the Command Force, obviously, you know, like, various Fragment Jordan colorways, and the shoe's just not selling the way I think a lot of us might have expected. But what do you think about, like, OG colorways being put on different silhouettes, Mike?
Yeah, I love it because it gives you a different look at that colorway that you never saw before because you're used to seeing it on one thing. Like, I may be in the minority with this thought, but the Tinker pack that came out with the Jordans, it was the Air Jordan 3 with the chlorophyll color, which I found for still one of the most amazing colors to put on a 3 that's not a retro, like OG color. You had the Air Raid Jordan 8. You had one of the trainers that was on the Jordan 6. I cannot remember off the top of my head. But I think that was so cool to see those colors recreated on something different. So I think it's kind of a breath of fresh air, and it's cool to see it. It's a little remix. I mean, just like the way they're putting the retro colors and construction on the LeBron 16, super cool because you get to see it. Mm-hmm. How, you know, a futuristic look to it. You know, hey, this was in a 1988 shoe, but here's it on a 2019 sneaker. It's cool to see it that way. And in regards to the Don C sneakers, I would tell you firsthand, I was definitely one of the people who completely bashed that sneaker when it first came out. I just didn't see the purpose for it, and I couldn't figure it out. But it could be two factors here of why I'm almost giving the second look. One being what you said, looking at some of these iconic colorways that have been put on there, I'm kind of, you know, leaning towards maybe trying to pair out because I like the way the colors are. And just that nostalgia of those colors on something different, I mean, you really can't beat that. I mean, that's what we live for. That's why we collect these sneakers. That's why we're in this hobby, because we just, you know, we like things that, you know, bring nostalgia to us and look good. I mean, second, you know, prices dropped to like $80, so I can't really beat that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, I agree. Like, I definitely wasn't a fan of that shoe when it first came out. I mean, I kind of was like hit or miss. Like, it's I like bulky old school shoes, so I wasn't mad at it, but it just felt like it felt like super forced to me, and it just felt like, all right, well, this is just like a, you know, trying to recreate the Yeezy 2 in a, you know, just like that whole formula of Kanye taking a bunch of different pieces and putting it together. I feel like we've seen that, and it's not a surprise that it didn't do as well as maybe people wanted it to. But I don't know. Yeah. I guess that's kind of a going down the bucket list of reusing, you know, silhouettes and mixing them up is probably a whole another episode. So we should probably just hold off on that conversation until next time. But so wrapping up, I guess, you know, what's your pick of the show, pick of the week for this particular week or this particular show? What shoe are you going with? New release, old release?
Yeah, man. So this one's definitely not a new shoe. It just happened this year. I decided I'm going to try to pick up here within the next probably week or so is that the Atmos by Air Max 2 Lite, the logos pack. It was such a great price. It's a cool looking shoe, and I think that's what I'm gonna. I think that's my pick for this coming week.
Yeah, I mean, I won't pick it for my shoe for my pick, but I might pick up a pair if I can get that same deal on a size 13. So,
yeah.
So my pick is a little bit different, just because I don't typically go with like performance shoes, but I really dig the PG3 iridescent, like all black upper and like kind of the iridescent like midfoot and swoosh on the side. It just looks like a super dope combination to me. I feel like I would wear it a lot. Be like an easy shoe to just throw on. So that's gonna be mine for this week. So
good looking shoe.
If you are listening and you have a pick for the week, why don't you tweet us or DM us on or tag us in your stories. Like if you got a pick of the week, throw up a picture and just tag us so we can see what your pick of the week is. What shoes are you looking forward to copping this weekend? And, or even in the next couple of weeks, you know, maybe we can talk about it on the next show. But, that's going to wrap up for this episode. My name's Nick Engvall. You can follow me at Nick Engvall on all platforms, NickEngvall. But more importantly, you can follow at Sneaker History on all platforms. And yeah, Mike, why don't you let them know how they can find you online?
Yeah, man. You can find me every day, all day on SneakerHistory.com. You guys find me on social media at on Twitter. Instagram at MadWatcher789. And just, hey, thanks again, guys, for listening. Thanks for your comments. Thanks for, you know, just interactions with us. You guys are awesome. And let us know if there's anything you want to talk about. We're happy to touch on any sneaker topics, guys. So again, appreciate you. And we'll catch you next time.
Yes, sir. Thanks for listening. Peace.
See ya.
Hey, what up, guys? This is Nick again. Before you take off, I just want to let you know a couple things we're working on here at Sneaker History. We're about to start a weekly newsletter to share some of the things that we find from around the web that's interesting, entertaining, newsworthy stuff. And instead of putting it all on social, maybe it's not worth posting on the blog, but we wanted it to just be on your radar. So it's kind of like a compilation of our favorite things from the week. And we'll be sending that out on Sundays just to make sure that you have the news from the previous week and maybe some news about the upcoming week in terms of releases, you know, changes in release dates, etc. You can sign up for that now at sneakerhistory.com. The second thing is that we finally launched a web store to sell some Sneaker History merchandise. So far, we've got some tees, stickers, coffee mugs, and some other goods in the works. And the money we make from this will go to pay for hosting and production of things like this podcast. You can find that on the top right menu of our website. If you do cop some merch, be sure to tag us in your social posts so we can repost. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll catch you next time.
Hey, hey, Nick here again. Before you take off, I want to thank you for listening to the Sneaker History Podcast. Be sure to hop into our Discord to answer this episode's The Last Shot question and get to know our community of sneaker enthusiasts. If you'd like more insights on the trending topics in the sneaker world, I've also recently started a newsletter to share my knowledge from nearly two decades of experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link to that below or go to sneakerhistory.com/newsletter. And last but not least, tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a simple compliment can take you, and we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Thank you for all the support, and we will catch you on the next episode. Peace.